If you will, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 77. The book of Psalms, chapter 77. Years ago, I heard a man say that there was three books in the Bible that God's people would do well to frequent. And one was the book of Proverbs, that we might have wisdom. The other was the book of Psalms, that we might keep our hearts sweet. And the other was the book of Acts, that we might ever be reminded of what the New Testament church is supposed to be. We began this morning preaching out of Psalm 61, and tonight in Psalm 77 will be the second message in the series of messages, When My Heart is Overwhelmed. Let's look here at Psalm 77 and read it. It's 20 verses tonight. Asaph has written this psalm to the chief musician. And he said, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. Well, we need somebody to hear us, don't we? In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed, Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will He be favorable no more? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Does His promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but, I love that word, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember Thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all Thy work and talk of Thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw Thee, O God. The waters saw Thee, and they were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of Thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and Thy path in the great waters, and Thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest Thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. If correctly read, that's the 20 verses in Psalm chapter 77. Let's pray just a moment. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege, Lord, to gather here together with Your people. God, tonight I pray that You would meet the needs of everyone present. Lord, I pray tonight that You would take the Word of God and, Lord, help it to just be real. Help it to be alive in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, would You help us, Lord, that we might, Lord, commit this Word, Lord, to our memory, to our heart, that we might be able to, Lord, glean from it in the days ahead when needed. Lord, we love You tonight. We pray, Lord, You'd strengthen the children of God this evening. God, that You'd save the lost. And Lord, that You'd just help us all to look up and realize just a little while. And He that shall come will come and will not tarry. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The message this morning was, lead me to the rock that is higher than I when my heart is overwhelmed. I'm glad we have a rock, aren't you? I'm glad tonight we know who He is. His name is Jesus. And He's still there. He's still a firm foundation. That old hymn is a good one. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord. Amen. Thank God it's laid for us in His excellent Word. I appreciate the foundation, the rock. Now, we said this morning in that message that we need someone to hear us. We need someone not only to hear us, but we need someone to help us. And we need someone not only to help us, but I tell you, there's times when we just need someone to hide us. How many's ever been at a loss for words when you're trying to help somebody? Amen. You want to say something. You want to comfort them, but you're just at a loss for words. You know what? It's okay to be at a loss for words sometimes. Just be there. Just let them know you're there. Just let them know that you have a friend. Just let them know. It's not, I told somebody a while back, sometimes it's not what we say, it's what we don't say. We're just there, amen? And thank God the Lord is there for us, and we can be there for one another. Now tonight I want to get into this message in Psalms chapter 77. And I want to get into it and name the message or title the message. This morning was Lead Me to the Rock. Tonight is Cause Me to Remember. Cause me to remember when my heart is overwhelmed. Let me say this to you tonight. If we're not careful, listen to me carefully. I have four children. Three of my four children have hardly given me any problems whatsoever. But one. But one. How many knows what I just said? But one. And if we're not careful, what will happen? We will, in the midst of being overwhelmed by circumstances and by situations, if we're not careful, we'll forget that I have four children. I have three, amen, that are doing right. Three, amen. And I believe the fourth one's on the way. Say amen. And I'm praying. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that sometimes we forget the good in the midst of all the bad. Amen. In the midst of the trouble. And God wants us to see tonight that when my heart is overwhelmed, I need to remember. Cause me to remember. Stir up my remembrance. That's what Peter said. He said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. Amen. And I pray tonight that we can see some things that'll help us. First of all, tonight, we need to remember, and I got four areas to talk to you about this evening. The first thing I want to talk to you about is we need to remember our suffering. Our suffering. The Bible said here, in verse number 2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. And you say, preacher, I don't understand. You just said, well, you need to say, preacher, well, you told us, you know, kind of remember the good things. Yeah. But how many knows that the bad things are still there? The things that overwhelm us. Now, watch tonight. God's going to help us tonight if we'll let Him. Listen, God wants us to remember our suffering, but He doesn't want us just to remember it. He wants us to remember it in the light of a couple of things. And I'll show them to you tonight. Number one, let's remember our suffering and what we're going through in the light of Calvary. Let's carry what we're going through over there to the foot of the old rugged cross and look up at our darling Savior, amen, who can't open His eyes because they're swelled shut, who's got patches of His beard pulled out, who's got blood coming from His brow, blood coming from His hand, blood coming from His back, blood coming from His feet. Blood's running down the old rugged cross. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you're trying to do. I'm trying to help us tonight. I'm telling you that when my back is to the wall, I always need to remember that His back was to the cross. And I've not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin. I've been in some low places. I've been in some dark places. I've went through some deep valleys. But I tell you, I've gone through nothing compared to what my Savior went through at the cross. Amen. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. You say, preacher, are you trying to make little of our suffering? No. But I tell you what the cross will do. It'll make it littler. Amen. Say amen right there. I tell you, it'll put it in perspective. I need to think about my suffering in light of Calvary. Secondly, are you ready? I need to think about my suffering in light of eternity.
You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Hey, how many knows that suffering's just for time for the children of God? It's just for time. These dark days, these deep valleys, the discouragement we go through, that's just for time. But hallelujah, think about our eternity. Here's what Paul said. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. The Bible said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And Paul said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. He said, the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. If I can get my suffering to Calvary, it helps me. If I can get my suffering in the light of Calvary, it helps me. But if I can get it in the light of eternity, amen. Let me give you something tonight. Think about this. The very worst that God's people are ever going to experience, they're going to experience it in this life. But the very best, Brother Fred, that a lost man will ever experience, he'll experience it in this life. What are you trying to say, preacher? Here's what I'm trying to say. For the children of God, for the children of God, for those that know Jesus, for those that's been born again, for those that's looking for Him, for those that's living for Him, the best is yet to come. Hallelujah. It's yet to come. Amen. Let me say it down the country, something like this. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. Amen. I was walking across the parking lot one time with a man. He put his arm around me and he said, Brother Vinoy, I said, yes, sir. He said, you're ugly. I said, well, you need to come and see me in my new home. You'll change your mind about that. Say amen. Yeah, amen. I believe with all my heart we'll be like Jesus, don't you? I believe with all my heart the burdens will be gone. I believe if we can take our suffering, the Bible said here, I remembered God in the day of my trouble. I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. It ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. But I remembered God. I'll tell you something tonight. I believe with all of my heart when we remember, amen, in light of eternity, in light of Calvary, we put our suffering there. It'll help us tonight. Let me give you this tonight. You know, not only do we need to remember, I need to remember my suffering, but I want to use a word tonight. It's not used a lot, but my sovereign. God is sovereign. That means He's in control. That means He's not surprised tonight by what I'm going through or by what you're going through. Amen. And I do want to say something tonight. I told someone in the hospital today. I said, I believe one of the reasons that God gave a pastor hospital visitation, nursing home visitation, was for this. He knew there'd be a lot greater chance that that man would remain humble if he remained in those places. I'm telling you, just go with me sometime. Just go with me. You know I can't help it. I'm not being nosy, but as I go by rooms, I just glance once in a while. And I'm telling you, there are people that are hurting. Amen. People that are suffering. But I want to say something. There's a sovereign God in heaven. Amen. That knows the beginning from the end. You see, we stand on the street corner and we see the parade one float at a time. Amen. And we like some of the floats, don't we? Amen. But some of the floats, we just wish we could take them out of life. Amen. But God is in heaven. He sees the whole parade. He sees the beginning. He sees the end. He sees everything in between. And I promise you that the sovereign God is working together for you and I that which is good in our lives. We don't understand that. Listen what the Bible said. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to, listen to this, the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Listen to this. Let me say something. Predestination has absolutely nothing to do with a lost person. Predestination in the Bible is speaking of that that God has already preordained in the life of His children. Amen. Listen what the Bible said. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. In the eyes of God, we're already there tonight. Amen. The Bible said, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'll tell you something tonight, if we're not careful, when our heart is overwhelmed, we will forget that God is for us. He's not against us. He's for us. You say, well, preacher, how could a God that is for me allow this in my life? I don't have all the answers. I'll say this, though. When you can't track Him, you sure do need to learn how to trust Him. Amen. When you can't see what He's up to, you need to believe that He is up to that, which is going to work together for good. If God be for us, who can be? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Let me ask you this question tonight. What would happen if right in the midst of our heart being overwhelmed, right in the midst of our darkness, right in the midst of our discouragement, right in the midst of our depression, right in the midst of our deep valley, what would happen if right in the midst of it, if we just said, that's okay, valley. You can't separate me from the love of Christ. That's okay, discouragement. You can do a lot of things, but you can't separate me from the love of Christ. That's okay, death. You can have my whole body, but you can't separate me from the love of Christ. I tell you, I believe it would make a difference if we would remember what the enemy cannot do in our lives. He can't do it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you persuaded that neither death, nor lie, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? I'm going to tell you something right now. The devil and I agree on this one thing right here. I hate him. And he hates me. We agree on that. Let me tell you something right now. Some of y'all prayed. I could hear it in your voice when you talked to me on the phone. God, help the preacher get back safely. Lord, our preacher has an enemy. He'd like to snuff him out. He'd like to take him out. God help our preacher. I want to say this to you tonight. I believe this with all of my heart. The Bible said right there, who shall separate us? There ain't nothing. There ain't nobody going to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I believe with all of my heart tonight that God is sovereign, that God will take care of His own. You say, preacher, that means that no bad thing will ever happen to God's people. That's not what that means. Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Amen. But what it does mean is, as bad as it gets, it's going to get better for the children of God. Amen. And for the sinner man, as good as it gets, it's going to get worse. But for the children of God, we have a sovereign tonight. Job said it like this. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Let me ask you a personal question tonight. Have you ever been in a place where you didn't maintain your own ways? I'm raising my hand right there. Say amen. You got out of sorts. You weren't thinking clearly. Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? Just listening to the old enemy instead of listening to the Lord. Amen. And the enemy's lying to us. He's lying to us. He's going to continue to lie to us. And we can't afford to listen to him when our heart is overwhelmed. We must remember that sovereign God that promise. I'll go with you. Isaiah said it like this. He said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You know where the psalmist is going to get help? He starts out here in this chapter, and all he can think about is his trouble. All he can think about is his situation. How many's ever been there? Amen. But he's going to get to a place where the Savior is going to get bigger than his situation. Let me show you something right here. Let me illustrate. Come up here a minute, Brother Colin. Help me illustrate this, brother. We'll do it with that. Is that very heavy? Bring that over here, brother. We'll do it with that. I didn't want to take that on. I was afraid I'd mess it up. Amen? Now, all right, sit down right there, Brother Kyle. Appreciate you, buddy. This is my situation. This is what's got me tore out of the frame. How many knows what I mean when I say tore out of the frame? This is what's got me not thinking clearly. This is what's got me not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've done sat down on God. Amen. I'll get to it in a little bit, but I'm like the children of Israel. I've done hung my harp up on the willow. Ain't got nothing to sing. Ain't got nothing to say. Amen. This is my situation right here. And Kyle is my Savior. Now watch this. This will help you. I guarantee you it'll help you if you'll let it. Here's where we are. We're looking at our Savior through our situation. And when I'm looking at my Savior through my situation, I have a very dim view of my Savior. But watch this. Come over here, Kyle. Oh, glory. When I'm looking at my situation, see my situation, it's still there. Through my Savior. Glory, glory, glory. I can't hardly see my situation because my Savior's bigger and closer than my situation. Hallelujah! That'll help us tonight. Amen. I'll tell you something tonight. That situation's still there. It didn't go away. But I tell you, I'm magnifying now. Did the Bible tell us to magnify our situation? Help us, Jesus, right here. I didn't say you. I said help us right here. How many of us know we're pretty good at magnifying our situation? Amen. God wants us to magnify our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kyle. You better put that back. You'll fire me if you don't. Amen. I believe with all my heart, if we can get our eyes, no wonder the Bible said looking unto Jesus, the author. Did it say the author or the finisher? I said the author and the finisher. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work. How many's ever lost that confidence? You just didn't think he's going to make it. Amen? Our confidence, because of the situation, because of the storm, because of the distress, we became despondent, amen? And we lost that confidence, and we even wondered if we were going to make it, let alone make it victoriously. Amen. I appreciate the Lord, don't you? Cause me to remember. Lord, don't let me forget your goodness. Don't let me forget your glory when my heart is overwhelmed. Cause me to remember. My Sovereign. Amen. We must learn to trust Him. Amen. Learn. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. Paul said, I've not arrived yet. I've not yet apprehended. But he said, I press toward the mark. You remember that? I think Brother John was in that text Wednesday night. I'm not there yet. And you're not either. We need to keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. He said, preacher, I don't see any reason to press on. I see a bunch of them. Say amen. That's reason enough. Amen. A bunch of them. Let me give you this tonight. Not only do we see in the Word of God here, my suffering, and we see my Sovereign, we need to remember my suffering, but remember it in the light of Calvary, remember it in the light of eternity. We need to remember our Sovereign, but then we need to remember something else tonight. We need to remember our song. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I want to tell you something right now. How many of you can say, with Judgment Day honesty, there are times when you just don't feel like singing? God has a word for us. Sing anyway. How many's ever figured out when you don't feel like coming to church and you come anyway, that's when you're about to get your real good blessing. Say amen. When you don't feel like praying and you pray anyway. When you don't feel like reading your Bible and you read it anyway. When you don't feel like speaking a word in due season and you speak it anyway, God's fixing to bless. The Bible tells us there's a song. I waited patiently, Psalm 41, for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Isn't that good? I keep running into that. He hears us. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and He established my goings. And if that's all He did, we ought to shout glory right there. But the Word of God didn't stop. He said He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. How many remembers when God gave you a new song? A new song. Amen. A song that didn't minister to your foot, but it ministered to your heart. Oh, my friend, the psalmist said, we need to remember our song. The Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our hearts upon the willows in the midst thereof. Therefore, they carried us away captive. They required of us a song, and they wasted us. They that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And here's the question. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, God's not going to ask a question without giving us an answer. How can we do it? How, when my heart is overwhelmed? How many of you got somebody in your mind right now, a picture of an old saint of God? It didn't matter how dark it got. It didn't matter how bad it got. They just kept on going, kept on going, kept on going. How many's got a picture of a preacher, amen, that didn't quit? They just kept on going, kept on going. It didn't matter physically, financially. It didn't matter what was going on. They just kept on going for Jesus. Kept on singing. Well, how in the world can we sing a song in a strange land? Well, we need to remember that there's going to be a place where the night shall be no more. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, the Bible said, His anger endureth but for a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. But guess what's coming in the morning? Joy. Joy cometh in the morning. You say, preacher, how can we do it? How can we keep singing? The Bible said in Revelation 5:9, they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I tell you how we can sing now, and we can remember that while we're in the night season now, there's a season coming where there is no more night. I like what the Bible said, no more curse. No more night. Everything that's going on that overwhelms us is a result of the curse of sin. Would somebody say amen? The Bible said, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by night or by day, for there shall be no night there. There shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The Bible said there's no need of the moon. There's no need of the sun, for the Lord God and the Lamb are the light thereof. That's where you and I are headed, and that will help us through these dark nights down here. I'll tell you something right now, and you know it's true. You get in one of them hospitals with a loved one, they can be some of the longest nights you've ever experienced in your life. But I tell you, for the children of God, it just seems like the night's about to run out. We're about to run into morning. Amen. Into morning. And joy's coming in the morning. You say, preacher, what do we need to remember? Number one, we need to remember. We need to remember our suffering. In the light of Calvary, in the light of eternity. We need to remember our sovereign God. We need to remember our song in the night. You say, preacher, I don't understand how anybody could sing in the night. Remember this. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. but be ye filled with the Spirit. How many knows that's in the Bible over in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18? The Bible talked about singing. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Making melody in your heart unto the Lord. I believe, listen to me very carefully, I believe one of the evidences, how many members of them old timers I was talking about? I believe one of the evidences, not the only one, but one of the evidences of the Spirit-filled life. That Spirit-filled life, it's not some crazy life. It's a life where the Lord Jesus is doing the driving. He's got the steering wheel. He's got the gas pedal. He's got the brake. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. You say, well, preacher, I'll delight as long as it don't become dark. As long as I don't have to go through any trials. Who are we not to go through any trials? Who are we? Let's read about Peter. Let's read about Paul. Let's read about John. Let's read about the saints of God, even in our Baptist history, that was burned at the stake and boiled in a pot of oil because they wouldn't lay that blessed book down. Who are we not to suffer a little? The Bible said, count it all joy. Just look up and say, God, I'm so glad I'm one of your youngins, and you counted me worthy to go through this trial. I'm going to tell you something right now, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to us. Every one of us would rather go around the situations that overwhelm our heart and overwhelm our spirit. Am I right or am I wrong? How many'd rather go around burying your mama? I would. I bit into that hamburger today and I thought about Mama again. Mama used to have to order us plain hamburgers when we was boys. We wouldn't eat nothing on a hamburger. Nothing. Just the meat and a bun. They'd ask that over the speaker. Just the meat and a bun. Yeah, just the meat and the bun. That's all we wanted. Amen. Mama'd bite into that hamburger that had lettuce and tomato. And onions and mayonnaise, and Mom would say, boy, youngins, that sure is good. Amen. And I would think, that sure is gross when I was a kid. Amen. But you know what I done today? I bit into one of them and said, you're right, Mama. That sure is good. Hallelujah. And my taste buds changed a little bit. Amen. Yeah, I'd like to go around that situation where we had to put Mama in that graveyard in that cemetery. But listen, God has taught me some things through that situation. So all of us would rather go around some things. All of us would. But I'm going to tell you something right now. The soil is the most fertile. How many knows this is right? In the valley. You'll learn things about the lily of the valley that you will never learn on the mountaintop. You'll learn something about your Christian brothers and sisters in the valley that you will never learn on the mountaintop. You'll learn things from the Word of God in the valley that you will never learn on the mountaintop. You'll learn things when we're walking in deep, dark valleys that you would never learn on the mountaintop. Now, wait a minute. I'm going on to the last thing in a minute. Did the Bible say, in everything, give thanks? For this is the will of God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm going to tell you, it'll change us. When next time we're going through something, we could just look up and just be honest with God and say, Lord, I have no idea why I'm going through this. I have no idea why my family's going through this. But Lord, I know this. You're for us. You're not against us. And Lord, I'd just like to thank you for the valley that I'm walking through today. I'd just like to thank you, Lord, that though I'm walking in the valley, glory, I'm not walking alone. Though I'm walking in the valley, Lord, I'll never be alone. Hallelujah. My song in the night. The last thing I want to see here caused me to remember my suffering, my sovereign, my song in the night. But I want you to see something right here. And I'm preaching to myself right here. I tell you what, when God gave me this, I ain't preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. How many's ever felt like throwing in the towel? You know what God said? We need to remember His service, our service at His right hand. Let me show you something here. Watch what the Bible said right here. In verse number 10, and I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. Let me give you something here tonight. I hope it'll bless you. First of all, when I look at my service, you see, when I'm in a tight spot, so to speak, a dark spot, so to speak, a spot where my heart is overwhelmed, you know what I want to do? I don't want to, but I do. I forget about the now on 27 years that my Lord's been blessing me. How many knows what I'm talking about? Brother Danny Sykes, his wife, Miss Pat, and the trio, they sing a song. It says, though I failed the Lord, He's never failed me. Can I tell you, February 22nd will be 27 years of serving Jesus. Can I tell you, I failed the Lord. But can I tell you, He's never failed me. You say, preacher, what do you mean, remember the years? Well, look at it here with me just a moment. I broke it down just a little bit so maybe we can remember. My time in His service. That's what I want to talk about first of all. My time in His service. How many's been serving the Lord for a few years? Brother Frankie'd be here Wednesday night. Brother Frankie's been saved 3 years. Three. I believe God's going to use him. Amen? But some of us have been saved 20 years. 25, 30, 35, 40. Anybody's been saved 50 years or longer in the building? Right here's one. Anybody else? 50 years or longer. How long have you been saved, Brother Fred? 75 years. Brother, can I ask you, when you look at your time in His service, is there anything back there that'll encourage you? Has He been faithful?
Well, I ain't been what I ought to have been.
But what about Him? Has He been faithful? He's always been faithful. Amen? See where I'm coming from? We've not always been what we should have been, but thank God Almighty, He's always been exactly what He said He would be. And guess what? He ain't changing now. Just because my situation's what it is, just because things, my friend, have come in like a flood in my life, my God will never change. And we need to walk on. We think about our time in His service. What about our triumphs in His service? Has anybody won some battles along the way? At the right hand of God, say amen. Has anybody got a few victories you can look back to and say, hey, right here, my Lord came through again. Well, you know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to forget all that. And just remember what's right here around us right now. And God said, the psalmist Asaph said, I will remember my years at thy right hand. I'm going to remember. The Bible said, I thought about this a while ago and I didn't write it down, but the Holy Spirit's good enough to give it back to me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You know what the devil wants? He wants these young people to forget Him. Forget Him. That's for old people. That's for somebody else. But the Holy Ghost said, remember Him. And don't wait till later to remember Him. Remember Him now. While the evil days come not upon thee. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I want you to know tonight, thank God I have a time in His service I can remember. I have some triumphs in His service that I can remember. Listen, with some, it's always a sad story. There's some people in this world I have learned by experience, just don't ask them how they're doing. Because when they get finished telling you, you're going to be convinced that God is dead. He ain't dead. He's alive. He's not against us. He's for us. He's working together these things in our life for good. Little boy, sitting down at the feet of his grandmother, said, "Grandma, what you doing?" She said, "Honey, I'm making a beautiful picture." She was doing cross stitch, putting that needle in and out. And how many knows what I'm talking about? I hope none of you men have ever done it, but amen. I've tried a little bit of everything in life. At least some of it, I just left it alone. Amen. Said, "Grandma, what you said, I'm making a beautiful." He said, "No, Grandma, it's not beautiful. It's ugly." And it was. But he was looking at the bottom side. Can I tell you that you and I in life are going to experience some pretty ugly things from our perspective? But can I tell you on the authority of God's Word, my Father is painting a beautiful picture. Just wait till we get home. Amen. Just wait till we see. Amen. That everything was just exactly where He wanted it. And everything had a purpose in our life that came into our life. My triumphs in His service. How many likes that verse over there? "Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's talking about victory over death, hell, and the grave. But there's a verse that's left out a lot. Verse 58. It said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Watch this now. "For as much as you know..." How many's ever had old Slewfoot to try to convince you that it's all in vain? Ain't no use. No use as a parent. No use as a grandparent. No use as a church member. No use as a Sunday school teacher. No use in the children's church. No use in the pulpit. Just forget it. He's a liar. He said, "For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." It's not in vain in the Lord. The devil don't tell the truth, does he? He don't play fair. He'll tell you it's all in vain. It's all in vain. It's not in vain. Let me give you one more thing and I'm done. Just in this last little part right here. "My service at His right hand. I see my time in His service. My triumph in His service." But what about this? What about my testimony in His service? How many have ever testified in a victorious time in your life to the grace of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God, how God has come through on your behalf? How many has ever testified like that? Amen? Well, you know what happens? When our heart's overwhelmed and we begin to forget, because that's what the devil wants us to do, all of those testimonies, if we're not careful, we'll begin to believe the devil, and we can't afford to believe him. Now listen, what about the testimony? Number one, look in verse 13. We ought to testify. He said, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary." We ought to testify among His people. David said it like this, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would already be through." Here's what most people think. They think, "God, if you'll show me something, I'll believe you." God's not like that. God says, "If you'll believe me, I'll show you something." Amen. David said, "I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I see in the testimony among God's people, and then we testify, look at verse 13, of God's greatness. Who is so great a God as our God? You can't answer that because there is no God as great as our God. Say amen. There is none. He's a great God and Savior. the Lord Jesus. We testify among His people. We testify of His greatness. We testify of His strength. Look at verse 14. Thou art the God that doest wonders. Let me ask you a question. Is He still doing wonders? When a lady that's now 40 years old gets up and starts down an aisle, and a 14-year-old daughter comes right behind her. He said, "Preacher, that's not a wonder. That's the wonder of wonders." There's so much emphasis in these days put on the physical wonder and not much put on the spiritual wonder. I tell you, the greatest miracle you'll ever see, you'll ever witness, is a sinner being birthed into the family of God. God's still doing wonders. Testify of His greatness. Testify of His strength. He said unto them, "Go your way. Eat the fat." This is in Nehemiah. "Drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your strength." We can testify of His strength. The Bible said, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Are we supposed to be walking in our own strength or in His strength? Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Then in verse 15 through 20, we can testify of His redemption. I thought of the song, "Sing, O Sing, of My Redeemer." How many can testify that you've been redeemed by the grace of God and by the blood of the Lamb? When we get over there, one of the first songs we're going to sing is the song of the redeemed. And the angels, they may sing, but they can't sing that song. They'll back up while the saints of God strike up a chord and sing that new song, the song of the redeemed. When my heart is overwhelmed tonight, God's going to say this, "Lead me to the rock." There'll be somebody there at that rock to hear me. Somebody there at that rock to help me. And somebody there at that rock to hide me. But He said, "Don't just lead me to the rock, but cause me to remember." Let me just say this to you tonight. I think my wife, she told me what Brother John preached the other night on forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not trying to be contradictory. That's the Bible. Say amen. That's the Bible. You read it in its context, and Paul was saying, "Hey, I can't live on past victories. I got to have one today. I can't live on that stuff that I now count but dung. My education, I can't live on that. I can't live on my credentials. I got to have the Lord. I got to forget that stuff which is back there. And I got to reach forth to that that's in front of me and press toward the mark." But I will say this. There are some things we do need to forget. But there are some things we do need to remember. Say amen right there. That's why Paul said, Peter said, "I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by way of remembrance." If we're not careful, we'll forget how good God is. We'll forget how good God has been. And the psalmist Asaph is saying, "Cause me to remember when my heart is overwhelmed." I believe this. I believe it even in our families. How many have some precious memories in your families? How many know what I'm about to say? We will allow the overwhelming circumstances to drive out and put a cloud, a dark cloud, over all. How many knows what I'm talking about? I didn't say you, I said we. and forget that my baby that's struggling now is the baby that I held in my hands and caused me to want to get right with God. Caused me to want to lay down a sinful lifestyle. The devil don't want me to remember that. Amen. All he wants me to do is be overwhelmed. But you know what? How many's got your Bible? We got one up on the devil, don't we? He's a liar. And the father of a lie. Cause me to remember when my heart is overwhelmed. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the preciousness of the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, tonight for the precious families that have come back this Sunday night to hear. I've encouraged, Lord, that these would come back. God, there are folks sitting under the sound of my voice tonight that really need you. God, I'd love to do what's needed, but I'm not able. But Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Help us tonight, Lord, to believe you and not believe the devil. Help us, Lord. Lead us to the rock. Help us, Lord. Cause us to remember. Lord, when we get in those deep, dark valleys, help us to remember that we're not alone. Lord, you're with us. Lord, that devil will convince us that nobody cares. God, he's a liar. Help us, Lord, to care one for another, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Help us, Father, in these days to draw closer to you, closer to one another. Help us to fight the good fight of faith. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to others. Lord, when they're going through something, help us, Lord, to realize that we've not walked in their shoes. We don't really know how they're hurting. God, we can pray for them. God, we can be there for them. We can listen. Lord, just help us to be more like Jesus. Father, I appreciate the church tonight. I pray you keep your hand upon us. Lord, if you tarry your coming for a little while, Lord, I know that all the days at Bible Way won't be bright. But God, I know this. Don't matter what we go through, we'll go through it with Jesus. We'll go through it with a Bible. We'll go through it praying. Help us to go through it with the rock and remembering the goodness and greatness of our God. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name.